This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Here we go, hour number two, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan on a Super Bowl reaction Monday, a Micah Parsons trade rumor Monday. He's not going anywhere, okay? We're also talking a lot of Mavs, and man, just standing by for the latest. Hopefully this is up to a month and not more, but you know, amongst the headlines out there, Anthony Davis to determine if he needs surgery for the adductor strain today. So hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully he can be back for the playoffs. Did say he plans to sign an extension with the Mavericks over the summer, maybe. So that would be cool. Mark Cuban saying, yeah, I urged Nico not to trade him, but it was too late. Here's Wolchuk with your NFL news today.
Well, the Cowboys continue to add to their staff. The latest that I've seen is another college coach. UTEP defensive coordinator J.J. Clark is going to join the staff as a defensive assistant, according to CBS Sports. The Cowboys are dipping their toes in the college waters. We did mention Ken Dorsey, according to Ian Rappaport. He was going to join as well as kind of an offensive consultant. Might be the same thing that Ben McAdoo was doing, Brian Schottenheimer was doing. So good for Ken Dorsey, who we had initially heard maybe as a play caller. And then Clayton Adams came in, took the offensive coordinator job. Brian Schottenheimer will continue to call the plays. And then a lot of trade speculation over the weekend. You had Deebo Samuel, him and his agent, having granted permission to find a trade partner for the wide receiver from the San Francisco 49ers. So there's Deebo and Cooper Kupp. And then some rumors out of Seattle, DK Metcalf also could be on the trade market. So three big-time wide receivers could be moving teams this offseason, potentially.
Well, two big-time wide receivers and a former big-time wide receiver, right?
Which one? Oh, Deebo?
Cooper Kupp?
I think I'd rather have Cooper Kupp than Deebo.
Really?
Yeah.
You think he still got something?
I think Kupp absolutely still has something, yeah.
What would make you think that?
I mean, I thought he played pretty well late in the season. I thought the playoff game against the Eagles, he was still pretty solid. I mean, the injury
concern, had one good game. Like, that was his game.
Yeah, but I'm still a believer in the way he runs routes. Like, on tape, I still saw it from Kupp. I mean, I get the injury stuff, and it depends on the price.
My bad. He had five good games. That was one of them. But he did not produce much at all.
Yeah, I think I'm still sold on Kupp over Deebo. Like, Deebo had a bad year.
Deebo fell off entirely.
I think his game really is.
And his contract is huge.
Yeah, I think he's just going to end up being probably the best behind him.
Are you worried about the fact of how they used him?
Yeah. Yeah, they
the
ran
the physical
him.
Nature and how he
yeah.
plays.
They yeah. treated him like a running back at times, and exactly, just the no, way
that's,
he
that's
plays.
That's absolutely fair. Yeah.
He was always seeking contact at yeah. every turn.
I mean, I get, like, the knee injuries that Cooper Kupp has had. Like, I'd be scared about both. The one that might have the best upside moving forward could be DK Metcalf, because I haven't really noticed like a substantial season-ending injury from him. But all those dudes, yeah, I mean, there's risk reward, but it seems like Kupp for a day three pick, like if you're talking a fifth rounder, he might be the most one that I'd say, okay, I'll take a flyer there, especially you are getting a receivers coach in Dallas who's got familiarity with him
and a very manageable salary.
Yes.
And the Rams already mentioned that they'd be willing to eat some of it. In terms of Cooper Kupp,
right?
Like they
right.
said they'll eat it the same way the Texans did with Brandon Cook when the Cowboys traded for him for a fifth round pick,
and that they love that. They love being able to kind of get that type of value if they're going to make a move. So
Dak does need a 6 to 7 yard target. You know, it just hasn't been the same since Beasley and Witten retired.
It never has. Get somebody open over the middle of the field. Now the Eagles, my gosh, the stats from yesterday, they matched the 85 Bears, finished the season with a top two rushing offense and a top two total defense, made them the first since the 85 Bears, one of the greatest defenses of all time, to do that while also winning the Super Bowl. Eagles held Kansas City to just 23 yards in the first half, second lowest first half total in Super Bowl history, only lower when the Patriots were held to, yes, negative 19 yards in that loss to the Chicago Bears, which they lost 46-10. And how about Cooper DeJean? Shout out to him. Gets the pick six on his birthday. Only other time that that happened, Chicago's Reggie Phillips did it in that 85 Bears Super Bowl. So congratulations to Cooper DeJean. Outstanding game for him.
I think that was his
first 22 years old.
First interception of the season.
It was.
Yeah.
And it was a pick six in the Super Bowl on his birthday.
Amazing. And Barkley, he needed just 30 yards to break TD's record for most rushing yards in a season, including playoff games, and he got it. Finished with 57 yards, gave him just over 2,500 yards on the year. So he smashed TD's record, which he set back in 98 when he was Super Bowl MVP. So the Eagles, I mean, the statistics, the Hurts sets the quarterback rushing record, 72 yards, most ever. And Devontae Smith, very exclusive list. Eagles receiver became just the fourth player ever to win a Super Bowl, a Heisman, and a college national title. He joined Charles Woodson, Marcus Allen, and Cowboy great Tony Dorsett as the only other players to do so. He's also the only player from Alabama to score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. That does not include quarterbacks. Obviously, you've got Joe Namath, but drafted from Bama, and Jalen Hurts was drafted from Oklahoma.
Right.
So he wouldn't qualify, but that is wild when you look at the amount of talent that's come out of the Crimson Tide, and especially at running back, like Mark Ingram thought maybe he would have a chance to do so, but Derrick Henry hasn't reached a Super Bowl. Julio Jones never scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl he made it to with Atlanta. So that's an amazing accomplishment for Devontae Smith. What a night for him as the Eagles got that that Lombardi, which absolutely stinks.
Man, I did hit on the – I mean, we talked about Devontae Smith having nice outings versus Spags.
Yeah.
And so that was something that I went for on some of my prize pick stuff. I was 3 for 4 on everything.
Ouch.
Every one of mine went 3 for 4.
What was the one that would always get you?
That's a good question. I would need to go back and look and see which ones actually stumped me. One of them I know was Samaje Perine. It was like 7.5 yards receiving. I thought he would have at least one catch for a first down, if not two. I don't even think he touched the ball. Couldn't even get a high five handshake out of Mahomes on the sidelines either.
That was tough.
Went right by him.
Well, allegedly you've got Chief fans that are trying to say the only way to explain how bad Mahomes was, he had to have been concussed. And there is a video, first third down of the game, where he's scrambling around. He ran like 50 yards in the backfield and throws one to Hollywood Brown. His head does whiplash, bam, slam really hard on the turf. But I don't know that he was concussed. I feel like
I need to look at that play.
It's a bit of a cop-out, but it was a violent way that his head comes down on the turf. I don't know. Speculation. I can understand NFL fans that just hate the Chiefs. They're like, always trying to make excuses. Here's another one. But it did look like, damn, the way his head hit the turf, it wouldn't shock me if he did end up having a concussion.
Oh, I thought Kelsey would have more than 6 receptions. He had 4.
Yeah,
4 of the most useless receptions in
drops,
Super Bowl history.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
just didn't even look like he knew that it was a Super Bowl. It was embarrassing.
Well, Nick Sirianni was pleading on the podium, like, let's run this bleep back, Kellen. Go ahead and come on back. Do you think Kellen Moore, if you are him, the rumor is he's about to be named the Saints head coach. Like, it could happen today before we go off the air. Apparently, Cliff Kingsbury also turned down that job. They said, hey, you want to be our head coach? He said, thank you, but no thank you.
McCarthy might be in this thing. He might back into it.
Yeah, should Kellen Moore stay in Philly? This could be a Ben Johnson situation where you are an offensive coordinator of a team that is just absolutely loaded with talent, maybe the most talent across the entire NFL. Do you want that Saints job, or should you just say, yeah, Nick, you know what, I will run it back, and I'll come back, and I'll probably be just as a hot commodity next year as I have been this year. I mean, I think he had 3 interviews, if I'm not mistaken, Cowboys, Saints, and Jacksonville. So next year he could end up being one of the top candidates in the cycle.
I mean, the money's so much bigger, assuming it's $4 or $5 million, you know, I think you have to take the opportunity, and you don't know what it's going to be like next year. And if the Eagles stop spending, if they want to get their cap in order for the future,
you stink next year.
We could go bad for you. It's true that you don't interview well. You don't walk and talk and look like a head coach. So I think you got to take the opportunity while it's there to sock away money and buy a big house that you could retire to.
Yeah, you're 100% right. I mean, how many times has he been interviewed throughout the last like 4 or 5 years to be a head coach? And this is really the only one that's ever been he's ever been taken serious on.
Yeah, you might just say thank you, I'll take it. I mean, that's a hell of a point. I mean, I could understand both ways of this, but yeah, if you're Kellen and you do know my Achilles heel is I'm not very impressive in the interviews, which we heard he might have, quote, bombed the Cowboys interview. Maybe you do just say thank you, New Orleans. I'll take this opportunity and we'll see what we can do with
it. Especially when the entire offense was about your running back and having a historic season. And to think that that's going to happen again.
Yeah.
Is not very likely.
I don't think he's going to be flirting with Eric Dickerson's record next year.
No, but I am glad that we mentioned it to kick off the week.
Shout out to Xavier Worthy. There was one guy that showed up for the Chiefs offense. It was him, the Texas Longhorn, also becoming the first former Longhorn to ever score a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Okay, I thought I saw that, and I thought, this has to be a sack.
I thought so, too, but it is confirmed, and my goodness, that is also one where I was like, an Alabama player and a Texas player? Are you kidding me? Two of the most storied, rich teams in college football history. These are the first two guys, Devontae Smith and Xavier Worthy. Wow.
Maybe just the quietest two-touchdown, $150-plus receiving game in Super Bowl history.
You'll never remember.
Yeah, there's ever been.
I wonder if he feels awesome today. Like, damn, I showed out in the Super Bowl.
He did say after the game, he's like, I think I played a pretty good game. And he did. I mean, he should take that.
Well, he didn't get 7 rushing yards, so he bleeped me out of one of my parlays.
I was pretty upset about that, but he did hit. I just went the combined. I went rushing.
I did that on one of mine, and that was nice.
And that one did hit for me. The one that got me was like Grant Calcaterra, half a receiving yard. I need to just get one catch, Grant. And I was hoping when Kenny Pickett came in the game, This is my time.
He was so bad.
God, it was awful.
Like, wow. The one way to make this game worse and more boring, let's throw in Kenny Pickett so we can airmail a couple of 5-yarders.
But with the Texas and Bama first ever touchdowns in a Super Bowl, that just goes to show you, Wolchuk, how tough it is to win this thing. You know?
It's really tough.
You shouldn't be so hard on the Cowboys.
It's a small percentage of smiles and glory holes.
Yeah. Very small percentage.
Three more decades, they'll probably do it.
I think so. Like the law of averages, you'd think 3 more decades. Maybe.
I voted on a poll yesterday. I voted 2 decades. I think they'll get it done in the next 20 years.
Wow.
Okay. And it's crazy because that's a hot-ass take.
Yeah. You think in the next 20 years the Cowboys win the Super Bowl?
That's bold, baby.
We can pray. Nick Foles trolling Tom Brady takes to Twitter. It's really cool that Tom Brady got to be there for the Eagles' 2 Super Bowl wins. He might be a good luck charm. Have a great night. Maybe he is. Maybe it is Tom being a good luck charm for those two Super Bowls.
Or the reverse. He's Mahomes' bad luck charm.
Two playoff losses.
The Super Bowl.
The kryptonite was in the building.
The AFC championship and then just Brady's presence being very average in the booth was enough to just throw off Mahomes.
Yeah, that could be.
So much so that they're cranking up the old concussion excuse machine right now.
So the concussion excuse machine, and then here's DeAndre Hopkins. He takes to the podium, and this is what he had to say to the media regarding the officiating.
You know, I saw a lot of things in the media about the refs, but obviously, what y'all gonna say now about the refs and us when there was a lot of touchy calls? Are y'all gonna report that? Are y'all gonna talk about the refs now?
What do we think?
I think the only thing we should be talking about with DeAndre Hopkins is just how lost he looked. Like he had never seen a football being thrown his way on the, like when they're trying to go salvage something before halftime, maybe you can get a score. They would have been roughly in field goal range just with him catching the over route that was wide open.
Yeah, it should have been a TD.
And when it first happened, I'm like, what? Did he just short circuit or did Mahomes throw that weird? And then the replay shows, no, DeAndre Hopkins just forgot how to use his giant ass hands.
Yeah, for a second, I thought maybe he had money on the game.
I think he tripped over his own feet, and it stunned him. And so as the ball was coming in, he couldn't get his body right because when he went to set his feet to go attack the ball, it kind of tripped.
I think
he went full Daniel Jones a little bit.
He might have the turf monster got in there.
The entire 4 quarters was just basically a masterpiece of dog ass.
Gosh, they couldn't
do a single thing. Elementary level football could not get played for the Chiefs last night.
No, and stunning. That front four was just unbelievable. The fact that they didn't have to blitz once, and that was Dick Fangio's special, right, with the Dolphins. He's sending the pressure. Now it's like, dude, I got an easy day at the office. I'm just rushing 4, and we're rotating all 4 guys in and out, and it doesn't matter. They're all feasting. Like Josh Sweat is also an impending free agent. We mentioned Milton Williams. Josh Sweat made himself a lot of money. Two and a half sacks last night. He said he does want to be back in Philly. He likes where they are, and money's not going to be everything. But somebody's going to pay Josh Sweat a big-time bag after last night's game.
I mean, that's the good thing. It was so convincing. I don't know if you run it back and say, okay, now we're going to focus on stopping the passing game and let Saquon Barkley go, or in a different game, in a different setting, would the Chiefs offensive line be able to handle Philadelphia? I don't think so. You know, I think if you line this game up again next weekend, Eagles kill him again.
Yes, yeah, I'm with you 1,000%. That was just a domination of a Chiefs offensive line that's had some moving parts. Their best offensive lineman is their guard Tooney, who they've had to play at tackle. DJ Humphrey's thing didn't work out. Trading for Juwan Taylor has been a disaster. Yeah. Their tackle's awful. So even Trey Smith, who's going to be a high priority free agent for some teams as a right guard. He was getting embarrassed. Carter and Milton Williams. And that was the thing you mentioned, just the rotation. Every time you looked up, it was a new jersey number for the Eagles front four that was wreaking havoc.
With Jomo,
it was
like, wow, from Texas, Nolan Smith going out there. Yeah, and Nolan Smith, I heard the same thing that they're saying about Jalen Walker now, like too small, too short. Nolan Smith's got pass rush ability. Jalen Walker out of Georgia, the NFL lets him slide to the Eagles. I'll be pretty darn ticked. 8 of the 22 starters for Philly in the Super Bowl acquired via free agency or trade. All right, so just building with the draft, not the right model to do this. Kansas City, $11 million in cap space. They only have 6 draft picks. They do have 4 in the first 3 rounds. So they've got some high picks and they've drafted well. But it's going to be an interesting offseason there when you look at some of their free agents. Nick Bolton, Justin Reed, their safety, who was a menace last night. Yeah. Charles Amenihue, one of their defensive linemen. You mentioned Trey Smith. They're going to have to do some deciding on what's going on there. But I did love that Philadelphia's got that portal that you can like see to the world. It's a real-time, unfiltered live stream, 24/7, inviting people to meet above borders and differences. Like, you've had OnlyFans models like Flash the portal. Mm-hmm. They shut that portal down. They covered it because they didn't want America to see just how disgusting and all the poop they were eating
right. And
what was going on in Philly. They just said, guys, we've got to cover this, and probably a good thing because that would have been scarring, I think, for all of us to witness what was going down in Philadelphia yesterday.
Yeah, it would be its own movie rating, you know, like Philadelphia. It's got a little P in the
rated
box.
Rated X.
This is rated Philadelphia.
For filthy.
It's just disgusting. It's not even suitable for the rest of America, let alone the rest
just
of the world.
Gross. Brandon Graham, though, wants to be Howie Roseman's intern. He's probably retiring. He did play in the game, and he actually played pretty well. But he said no matter what, moving forward, he wants to be involved with Philly, and he wants to learn from the best in Howie Roseman. He said, hey, give me an internship. Maybe he ends up being a GM one day.
Well, right on, Wolchuk. Thank you for the NFL news
today. Really sucks.
We're making the most of it.
This is a rough day.
It sucks. The only cool thing is it's making it painfully obvious to Jerry how far behind he is. Maybe it'll spur him into spending a little bit in free agency. You can't just draft and develop anymore.
Can't.
Yeah, but he paid Dak, dude. We're all surprised we're not in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll talk about how many things you'd have to do in order to make the Cowboys as good as the Eagles. Krusty's Corner's coming up at 3:40, and we're back with you.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here in the nation. Welcome back, nation. It's time for the C-Note Cowboys news of the evening. Cowboys have had internal discussions about trading their best player. Yeah, it's unbelievable, right? And how many things do you have to do in order to put the Cowboys on the Eagles level? Let's talk about those segments brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's been in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Yeah, you know, I just think when you're looking at internal discussions, there's so many ways that can go. And, you know, one is for them to be serious. The other, it could be an offhand comment, you know. And I just think it's times like this where you understand, you know, the insider game is one that, you know, it's fun to play. But you got to, you know, I think throw out stuff that's a little bit more realistic than this. I mean, I just... No disrespect to Ian Rappaport, but when I saw that yesterday, I was like, man, there's no way they're moving him. This is just like kind of cheater journalism to put something juicy about the Cowboys in your Super Bowl Sunday report. That's the way about the way I took it. What do you guys think? Is there anything to this to you guys?
Not really. It was just the acknowledgement that words have been uttered. Should we give this guy market setting money or should we trade him, which is pretty much should be common sense. It's almost the type of report that goes without saying. There was no direct quotes of like of how serious this is. It's just there have been internal discussions about whether or not you should pay this guy, make him the highest paid defensive player in the sport.
Yeah,
like of course there have been those discussions. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. There were probably those discussions plenty leading up to the Dak contract. Should we not? Should we not? Yes, that's obvious.
I mean, it's just maybe as more of a formality or as a matter of process as you're sifting through it. But I mean, this team specifically just doesn't trade stars.
Right.
You know, so it's more of a hypothetical like, hey, man, what do you think we could get for Micah? You know, are we sure this is our guy? You know, but just checking in with people to, you know, to make sure you're seeing the same thing that I am.
It's something we've heard about for a long time. I just know the Cowboys front office pushed against it when they spoke to the media. So I guess that's why some might be like, ooh, if Ian Rapoport's reporting this, then this means that there's legs to it. But I would be absolutely stunned if the Cowboys ever actually traded Micah Parsons. But yes, there's no question you have to have those talks, right? I mean, if you're not, you're doing yourself a disservice. You've got to talk about what is in the best interest of our football team long term.
Yeah.
Is it going, where are we? Like, are we going to be competing for the next 4 or 5 years? They think they are, or else you wouldn't have gone ahead and signed Dak and CD. So you assume that Micah Parsons fits that timeline.
I mean, you could definitely throw enough draft picks at me, Brian, to make me do it. I think it's sure. It's probably like 3 ones and a two or something crazy. Yeah. But I would hate to give up on that player because of how much he changes things.
I think these are things that when we talk about trading these star players, there's so many things, and I'm just saying this, that we don't know. Like, I look at Luka's situation, you talk to people around the league, and everybody's wondering why. There are things that are probably going to come out later about that situation that is going to, like, everybody's going to go, okay, I see why. I see why. And maybe it's the same thing with these, with Micah. There's stuff that we see the on-the-field stuff, but we don't know all the other things that happen in meetings and just every day that they deal with their team. And I think that's where, you know, we're kind of like, man, there's no way in hell I would trade this guy. No way. But the more that you kind of dig in and it's not a slam job on like Luka that I'm hearing. It's just like, you know, hey, we had to deal with this. We had to deal with this. You know, and maybe Mike is the same way.
Yeah,
they're not interested in, no matter how good he is, spending $35 million a year and having to do the things they potentially are going to have to do with him or for him. And I think that's something that we lose sight of as fans. Mm. We just want him, hey, you know, sign him, put him on the field, and let's go.
So Micah isn't a checks every box superstar?
I believe there are things that the organization there are absolutely concerned about with him. Hmm. Much like probably the Dallas Mavericks were absolutely concerned about with Luka Doncic.
Yeah.
And I think that when you start to spend or talk about spending, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, that gives you that pause. And I think that's why Ian Rapoport felt it's important. But these are things that we've heard from the last year.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Mike, we talked about these times when Micah didn't even come to the OTAs.
Yeah.
Brand new coach, you know, it wasn't important enough.
Not the hardest worker, doesn't play run defense, talks a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, anything out?
Yeah. There's things, like you say, that we... you know, that we don't know about, and we do our best to try and find out everything. And it makes you wonder, hey, well, why did they trade Luka? Well, let me just give, how much time you got? You know, how much time you got here?
I mean, I know it's only half the game in football compared to basketball, but I think Micah makes a Luka level impact to the defense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Just star players, great players. But you have to be careful of, you know, when you say, well, God, they'll never trade him. But we don't know. We don't know everything that these players put these front offices through. I think that's something we need to pay attention to.
Give me multiple firsts for Micah and start rebuilding this damn team, says the 682. You know, if they wanted to go in that direction, like a full-on rebuild, then I would be with it. But until there's any indication they're willing to team build like that, then I would just be totally shocked if it would actually happen.
Yeah, and that's the quickest way to really look like a schmo paying Dak the contract. Like if you were...
Yeah,
you're
absolutely right. This, to me, this should have been new coach, new quarterback.
Yeah, next and 4 years have to be.
And ruin that opportunity. If they didn't pay CD and they didn't pay Dak,
yeah,
then you could. We're looking at a rebuild. You need those picks. Now you really can do something with it.
Since they're not going to rebuild, we go to Calvin Watkins in the morning news. 3 things the Cowboys must do to become Super Bowl contenders. If we had him on the phone right now, and hopefully it won't be too long before we do get a chance to talk with Calvin about Cowboys football, I'd ask him really if he thinks this is enough. Because after reading this, I thought, this team ain't competing. Number one, find a playmaker. You know, you have receivers on the trade market. You could draft a runner. You know, find a playmaker. Number two, re-sign Osa.
And number three, stay healthy. You know, you get overshown and Diggs back, I guess. But I was counting, like, how many good players did this team actually have with overshown and Diggs back? That would put you at nine. I counted the Eagles 16 really damn good players. So if you add one playmaker, maybe you're at 10. And you bring back Osif, if you count him as a really good player, you're at 11. But I think the Eagles have done such a good job at managing the cap to give themselves an advantage here that you really got to jump into that cap game if you want to compete. You can't continue to draft and develop and think you're going to get anywhere close.
Yeah, you just had the stat, Wolchuk, 8 of the 22 starters for the Eagles last night were acquired either via free agency or trade. They don't all have to be huge money splashes. Zach Bond, the linebacker, who was a defensive player of the year candidate.
So that was just a good get.
Yeah, that was just a good get. It doesn't always have to be something insane. Like, Kendricks was a nice little get for you this year.
Yeah.
Not to the level of Zach Bond, but like solid player, super on the cheap. Yeah. But you
trade
also
for AJ Brown, right? You trade for Darius Slay.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, James Bradbury is high on their salary cap list of guys they've paid. He had no impact on this. Neither did really Bryce Huff, who was a big free agent acquisition for them. But they're paying three of their five linemen top 11 in the sport right now. And, oh, by the way, Jason Kelce had a $16.4 million dead cap hit for him. So that's why, like, his Cowboy fans, it gets so frustrating when you hear the salary cap excuse. You've got a team in your own division that is absolutely making you look inept when it comes to how you handle contracts, structure them, go ahead and maneuver things to be able to put as competitive a roster on the football field. And from a Cowboys perspective, it is probably keep Osa Digizua, but add a Milton Williams. You know, you kind of need to find a way to get multiple of these guys. Go get Nick Bolton, the linebacker from Kansas City, if they're not bringing him back. Like, go ahead and let's really address this thing. You're not as talented as you think you are.
You're on it. You need Osa and another defensive tackle and a linebacker and a safety. You can't get one playmaker. You need two. You need a wide receiver and a running back. You probably need another really good offensive lineman. I think they need to look at adding a half dozen really good players if they realistically want to compete with Philadelphia and Washington next year in division.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I love the idea of Osa and Milton Williams. That would be legendary. But if you're having to pick between one or the other, I don't know how you can watch that game just last night, let alone the NFC Championship game, and want to give the $20 million a year to Osa instead of that guy Milton Williams, who's also a local legend, by the way.
Sure is.
And when we mentioned Nick Bolton, we do have to acknowledge just the stupidity of his unnecessary roughness call from last night when it was like third and a million for the Eagles, and now it's an easy first down. Not, again, that it would have mattered at all because the Chiefs were disgusting last night, but it was like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah, I think they were getting frustrated. Earlier in the game, he held up on one. Three smart trades the Cowboys could make without giving their top draft capital. This is LP Cruz blogging the boys. How about pick 174? That's probably the six for Jadeveon Clowney. I don't know if he's got anything left in the tank. Pick 150 for running back Travis Etienne. Trade the 211th pick for Kenyon Green, the guard. So, you know, I think these are the kind of things we need to be talking about. We need a good indication. The Cowboys have hinted around it. Maybe they'll manage the cap different. Maybe they'll manage the salary cap different and free agency as well. And I don't know how you can have watched yesterday's game and be like, dude, we just got to stay the course and try to get in the playoffs.
No.
You know? No. Because we've seen the Rams say F them picks. We saw Tampa Bay build a super team to win it around Tom Brady.
Yep.
You know, the 49ers have their own thing going on, but the Eagles are just money whipping the hell out of the league. They just won their second Super Bowl in 7 years and got to their second one in 3 years. Jerry, hello, McFly, is anybody home? I mean, conservative cap management is what is getting you wrecked, okay? It's an arms race. And if you can't figure out that you need to borrow from the future to pay the now, and spending it in the now is more efficient because the cap is going up, it's going to be less of a percentage in the future. So it's a significant edge. I want to know how much the Eagles plan on continuing this, or are they going to do a cleanse the palate cycle? You know, can you just keep doing this as long as the cap is going up? We're about to find out because they're over leveraged to the gills. Obviously, it's paid off in a big way.
but they are over leveraged in their future. I mean, if it was the Cowboys' future, they'd say we can't sign another player for the next 5 years.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, for sure.
Howie's like, he's still in there wheeling and dealing. Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Brian, where are you taking us?
Yeah, I'm going to walk you through the problems of that quarterback in Kansas City. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. 972 says the blueprint for getting to the Super Bowl on display last night, offensive and defensive line. And I agree with it, but I just think that's half of it. I think that's oversimplifying. It's as good a player as we can possibly acquire at every single position.
I totally agree with you on that.
Here's Brian with Krusty's Corner.
Thank you very much, Joel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the offensive defensive lines are important in this draft. I mean, Zach and I are going to talk about it a bunch. There's a lot of scary in a scary ways of with offensive linemen this thing if you're going to get the right guy. Defensive line, don't have an issue. Offensive line, got some issues. All right. I went through this morning and watched, they had the game up on my next gen stuff. So I got to watch the Super Bowl, the all 22. And so I wanted to go through and look at the six sacks that Patrick Mahomes suffered and kind of see if there was a common thread and just walk everybody through them if I could here. Hopefully I could get through them all. But the first sack was this was in the second quarter. It was a first and 10 on the Kansas City 30-yard line. Fangio goes with a cover two look with man underneath is what he does. So he's going to play with the two safeties and then play man coverage underneath and just try and match everybody. At the snap of the ball, Blankenship, the safety, drives right off the right hash into the middle of the field to take care of the crossers that Kansas City likes to work with. So he's basically playing with what we call a robber. Like he's two deep look and then drive it to where there's a robber. So you have a safety deep and a safety in the middle of the field. Worthy, the wide receiver, drags behind the line of scrimmage. I originally thought this was going to be a screen to Kelsey, but it really was that Kelsey got beat so quickly off the ball. He was late off the snap. And so that caused the problems. But Worthy's going to drag behind the line of scrimmage, and he's being tracked by DeJean, the corner. Kelsey, like I say, super late off the ball. Sweat, the defensive end, is by him before he can even react.
Right in his face, too. Not off the blind side. Right in his face.
Right in his face. And so Humphrey, the center, tries to kind of peel and get Sweat, but he's too late arriving there. He saw what was happening. Kelsey kind of turns and thinking that Mahomes is going to do one of those little sidearm shots, you know, to get him the ball, but no, not going to happen on that one.
It was a truly awful play from Kelsey. If he's supposed to be blocking on that play, that's man. The worst effort.
That was his man. Because they're going to block that, and they're going to run Worthy into the flat and throw him the ball on the move and kind of hope that he could win against DeJean and then get up the field. But they don't get it done. Mahomes is going to slide forward in the pocket. He just can't. Sweat's reach is just too long. First sack there, loss of four.
Play looked worse than Travis Kelce's hair these days. You know what I'm saying?
It was not. Yeah, you're right about that. It was pretty bad there. Second quarter, second and 14 on the Kansas City 22. Or excuse me, Kansas City 26.
Aren't they back to back plays?
Back to back. Yeah, back to back.
They had a run of five negative plays out of six that culminated with the pick.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think this is the drive. It's like sack, pick, six.
Yeah, that's rough.
They're in cover two again this time, but they're going to play zone. So, again, two safeties on the hash. What's really interesting is what Dick Fangio did here is, you know, when safeties, you talk about playing with width and playing wide off the hashes. It's like Philadelphia said, no, they played guys on the hashes. So their two safeties for a lot of this game on defense were lined up right on the hash.
You're right, Brian. That was a very savvy move from Vic.
Vic?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Dick Fangio. No.
That's right.
It's a good Super Bowl. Maybe you can be a Vic again, I guess.
I thought that was a great bid, by the way, Jeep.
I'm going to montage that. Just give me a couple months.
Please do. I'll start calling him back next year. I like when we call him you know, Dick Fangio. I like that. Okay. So it's a cover two look with the zone this time. And now at the snap, Gardner Johnson, the safety, drives again to the middle of the field. So now they've had Blankenship on one side drive, and then Gardner Johnson, the other safety, goes to the middle while Blankenship adjusts again behind him. So taking away the crossers underneath and then playing with a single high safety, kind of giving him a look of like, hey, giving Mahomes a look like, okay, we're going to try and keep everything in front of us. We're going to cover all your guys. We're going to make sure that we take care of that. But they adjust. So Blankenship goes deep. Gardner Johnson goes down. So again, that's that robber look I was telling you about earlier, middle of the field. Mahomes looks at Brown, the wide receiver, but Mitchell, the corner, is right there. So he's looking at Brown, Hollywood Brown, and he's like, no, I'm not going to throw it there because Mitchell's playing zone just a little bit off, but he's going to drive on that ball if it goes that way. So nothing to worthy on the other side either. So now Mahomes is in trouble. Now, what happens is Schuster-Smith, though, breaks open late through the middle of, like, he's running past Blankenship as the free safety there. But Pacheco, he tries to block. Kelsey and Pacheco try and block. Again, you got Kelsey's late off the ball, like he's not hearing the snap count. He's late every time they do this.
He's upped super high.
Pacheco tries to help. He's beaten by Sweat as well. Hunt, he overpowers Tooney on the other side and the split sack. So that's a loss of two. But he had Mahomes had a chance that he was like looked left, looked right, but they couldn't get the protection right, and they missed an opportunity down the middle of the field because of the sack. Sweat's able to get there. So good job by Sweat.
That's a seven-man protection.
Yeah.
And they can't stop four dudes.
Can't stop four dudes there. So back-to-back plays, Kelsey was definitely a problem here for your Kansas City Chiefs. All right, here's second quarter again, 3rd and 9 on the Kansas City 31. They go cover two again with that zone look I was just describing. Mahomes is starting to look at the rush now. He's not you can see the eye level has clearly come down, and now he's not even looking down the field. He's looking at the rush. Over at that point.
Yeah, that was absolutely around the time of the game where third or fourth drive, it's becoming painfully obvious.
It is bad. Kelsey once again stays in to help on Sweat before releasing. Humphreys, the center, blocks nobody on this play. I mean, he literally blocks nobody. Sweat and Williams, the defensive tackle, they execute a little bit of a twist stunt, and they do it pretty well right there. Mahomes tries to escape, but he works to his right. He works right into the twist. You're starting to see Mahomes, who usually navigates the pocket well, having problems. He worked right into the twist stunt where it was all breaking down instead of going away. Now, if he breaks to his right, then there's a chance because he's got Hollywood Brown running wide open down the right sideline of the field. But why? Because Gardner Johnson fell down. Like Brown just runs up on him. Gardner Johnson tries to turn, falls down. If he just breaks to his right, if Mahomes just tries to slide to his right and launch that ball, it's a huge play, likely a touchdown. But instead, he moves right into the twist stunt. They don't block it very well, and then he's sacked right there. Loss of 7 on the play.
A lot of the sacks, he's getting pressure from multiple spots.
Yeah.
You know, and he's kind of got tackles, he's got to try to be a Houdini in a lot of these.
It's funny how he's usually so good with his pocket awareness that, like, okay, I can feel it.
Yeah.
I need to slide over here, or, oh, wait, I need to get over on this side over here. But here, third sack, he's sliding right into the teeth of the rush.
Hmm.
So bad on his part right there. Okay, here we go. Another cover two look with the zone. Mahomes, this is the fourth sack. Mahomes has Smith-Schuster on a hitch, a 5-yard hitch. But he didn't throw him the ball. I mean, he's literally wide open. Like, if they run the routes with the curls and the hitches, and he doesn't throw the ball.
He had one with Watson, too. A third down conversion. Yeah. He peels wide open over the middle. He just didn't throw the ball to him.
Didn't throw the ball to him at all. So the pocket starts to squeeze on him, and he felt the need to go forward again in the pocket. If he stays in it, if he just stays in the pocket, he's got a chance here. Another deep shot to Hollywood Brown, who's running by Slay, the cornerback. So they've got guys down the field that are running past, and guys are falling down, secondary's falling down. But the rush, the eye level, everything is now kind of falling apart here for Patrick Mahomes. So Mahomes, he works right into the arms of Smith, the defensive tackle. Parham, the guard, had no chance on this one. When you look at Davis is driving him back. If he just moves a little to his right again, maybe he gets the ball off. But he goes right into the middle of the pocket. Davis is working Parham over the guard, and now it's a loss of one on the play. Another sack, but this time by the defensive tackle, Davis. All right, third quarter, second and 11. This is on the Kansas City 43. It's a cover two look with that zone look I've been talking about. Kind of seeing a little bit of a pattern here, what Vic Fangio's doing. Mahomes wants to hit Kelce in the flat, but Mitchell is right there. The corner, they're playing that zone. He's playing a little soft zone. He's kind of in the flat. Kelce works out there to him, and Mahomes is like trying to, wants to get into the ball, pulls it back. Now, again, here's Mahomes. He's going to go forward, but it's really, really muddy in the front of the pocket. It's not as clean. Everybody's kind of thuny and is getting driven back in there. Taylor, the guard, gets worked by Sweat for off the edge. And so now they're having a little bit of some problems. So it's all really muddy for him inside. If the pocket could have held up, Worthy had run by Gardner Johnson again and was wide open. So if they just get the protection, if they just
they could have hit big plays.
They had big plays. Every one of these sacks has somebody that was open, and Mahomes just could not get the ball off, or he could not get the ball out. This was a loss of six on the play. Here's the final one for you. This is fourth quarter. It's first and 10 on the Kansas City 30. Cover two look, but they're playing this time. Vic Fangio goes cover two with man on the outside and zone underneath. So he's playing his corners man for man, and he's using everybody else like in his zone. So he's kind of matching up that way. Mahomes wants to hit Worthy on the go because they probably have seen it. It's probably a couple different times it looks like it's, you know, could potentially be there. He loads up in order to deliver the ball. Williams, the defensive tackle, once again overpowers Parham, the guard, with his right hand. He knocks the ball out of Mahomes' hand for the fumble. Williams was able to fall on the ball, and that was the final sack. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs honestly are pretty lucky on this play that Mahomes didn't get hurt.
I know, dude. Like, this should have been a roughing the passer on Jalen Carter.
Yeah. This is a try and throw the ball as far down the field as you can, and then the arm, all of a sudden, the hand, the wrist, the ball, all get hit. We saw what happened in the playoff, the playoff game with the Georgia, that game where the quarterback is rolling outside the pocket, and then he gets
back, same thing,
yeah. Same kind of situation there.
All kinds of ligaments and rotator cuffs.
But predominantly what you see here is cover two with some robber in the middle of the field and four-man rush with some twist. Kansas City wasn't up to it. The quarterback wasn't up to it. It was probably one of the worst games from a pocket awareness standpoint that you'll ever see Patrick Mahomes have in a game.
There it is, Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 in the G-Bag Nation. Unbelievable to see Kansas City so shell-shocked like that and really unable to get off the mat or make any meaningful adjustments. It just kept getting worse until the game was over. Okay, in a copycat league, it's time for Jerry to tell Steve what time it is. We have that and more coming up next. It's the G-Bag Nation, the fan.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.